Hello, and welcome to Haz Matters, the Dangerously Good Hazmat Podcast, where dangerous goods experts share their insights on what's most important right now in the hazmat supply chain. I'm Jeff Siegel, a primary writer for the Label Master blog. I'm not a DG pro myself. That's why I always make sure to have an expert or two on the show. Today's topic is the human factor in supply chain compliance. And with me today from Germany are James Wyatt, General Manager of AeroConcept, and Desiree Perez of Desiree Perez Coaching and Consulting, LLC, based in Miami, Florida. James and Desiree have recently formed a partnership to combine solid aviation experience with human factors and leadership development. Welcome, James and Desiree.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
James, you and I have talked previously about new automation technologies and their role in the dangerous goods supply chain. Why are we talking about the human factor today?
Thank you, Jeff. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to join the podcast together with you. It's nice to be in contact with you again. Concerning the question, human factor has always been present, even in the digital times. And when we talk about dangerous goods, the focus must always be on compliance. And within the area of dangerous goods, there is a lot of human interaction and touch points involved, even though we try more and more to move into the digital age. And that's not just within the dangerous goods area, but within the air cargo arena in general. The supply chain and the elements involved from when a shipment is prepared until it reaches its final destination is pretty complex, and it has a lot of people, a lot of data, and a lot of touch points involved. We come to that later, and of course, we want to talk a lot today about the human factor within the current pandemic that we currently face, with COVID-19, and how that has had an effect on the industry in general.
Thank you, Jeff. Also from my side, for the invite to be here today. Really excited to be able to share this space with James today and just talk a little bit about human factors in the supply chain. And so just on what James just touched on a little bit, I think, the effects of the pandemic are really far reaching for all of us as human beings. This is a new situation. We've never been in this. We are quote unquote locked up in our homes. We are not being able to go to the airports like we used to be. Everything sort of seems upside down, and that obviously has an effect on how we perform, how we show up, on our emotional and mental well-being. And that then has obviously an effect on our ability to be compliant, on our ability to really operate in a safe space. And so that's why James and I came together and said, you know, there's really an emphasis on this part when we talk about air cargo and the hazmat supply chain.
Thanks, guys. Great answers to that question. And you both mentioned the pandemic, and obviously that's on everybody's minds these days. It's a topic that we absolutely have to talk about. I have a couple specific questions about that later. But James, you also mentioned complexity of the supply chain, particularly the DG supply chain. A lot of our listeners may know one segment of the supply chain very well, but maybe not have a wider view of the overall supply chain. Can you give us just a higher level view of the overall supply chain and the mix of data and human interaction that are involved?
It's a very interesting question, Jeff, and it's a question that could be answered in a few different ways and relevant, various elements of detail. It links to last year's symposium, which was run by Label Master, held in Chicago, and I ran a workshop there titled "What Happens After Acceptance," and that links into the first part of your question, based on the listeners. And the main customer base of Label Master, which are predominantly shippers or manufacturers of products which fall into the dangerous goods element. So from the consignor, as we call it, all the way through to the final consignee, there are various elements involved. So the consignor, or the shipper, is likely to give his shipment or her shipment to a freight forwarder, who then prepares the shipment for air uplift, maybe through a consolidation or individual shipment presentation to an airline or their associated ground handling agent, so a company which acts on behalf of the airline. And then depending on the origin and destination, there may be transit points involved. If we consider, for example, a shipment from Chicago to Singapore, which might be routed via Frankfurt and Dubai. So there are two transit points there involved. So what are the, you know, what are the touch points and what are the data requirements of the transit points? And then when the shipment reaches its final destination, it kind of mirrors then the origin. So it's the shipment is then handed over from the airline to the final consignee's freight forwarder. They would perform the inbound customs requirements, having the shipment released, and then a final delivery to the consignee. So there is a lot of complexity. So when a dangerous goods shipment is prepared in a facility, leaves that facility and is handed to a freight forwarder or to an airline directly, you know, it can often be forgotten the levels of complexity and methods which are required to bring that shipment safely to its destination. Of course, safety is absolutely paramount in everything that we do within aviation, none more so within the field of dangerous goods. And throughout those touch points, there are several data and physical elements which are involved. And without the mix, the right balance of data, human interaction, observation, and safety, things would look very, very different.
Yeah, Desiree, I wanted to ask you, James mentioned the multiple touch points and all the different places where data come into play. Describe the human element and the interaction of data and the human element in the supply chain.
Yeah, I think James has given us a really great outline of the supply chain and the different touch points and where the data comes in. And I think something that he really emphasized is complexity. There's a human element in throughout this whole entire supply chain involved, which is driven or which actually drives the compliance, the safety, right? So we can't create a safe environment and a compliant environment without the human human factors in all of this. So really, what does that mean for us as our cargo providers or in the broader range of the cargo environment? It really, is about now where people are affected and emotionally affected by some of the effects of this COVID-19. It's a completely new environment. There's expanded safety measures that we need to take. Everything, like I mentioned before, is sort of upside down than what we didn't know before. So now it's about how to create an environment for people where emotional well-being is really regarded. How do we help them work through all of these changes? How do we create a just culture where people actually speak up if they see something and feel comfortable in speaking up in order to drive that compliance and safety that James was talking about? And there's also a big element, as we talk about safety, of psychological safety. So giving people the safety of it's okay to speak up and it's okay to say what you see. We want to know these things in order to be compliant, in order to be safe, and in order to adjust our operation to the new normal, whatever that might look like.
So under normal circumstances, this complicated shipping dangerous goods is a complicated beast. And there's potentially a level of stress involved. You mentioned being able to speak up if you see something wrong. How does the pandemic make that worse? How does being upside down make that more challenging?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And thank you for that question. So we know certain things work a certain way and we can do processes over and over again, which is, part of the challenge that we have in terms of human factors, that repetition can also create some complacency. But in this specific situation, it's really everything that I knew that was working or that was done a certain way, all of a sudden is not that more. I need to pay attention. I'm looking at sort of, the invisible of this virus where I don't know where it's at, how it might exactly surface, There's also an element that people might be personally affected. Maybe family members got sick, or maybe they got laid off for a while, right? So there's a monetary aspect in all of this too. So there are huge effects to us as human beings with the uncertainty and the unknown. And so really helping people through that, right? So there's as leaders and as organizations, we also have to figure out what the new normal might look like, and helping people through that by giving them that psychological safety to say, okay, it's, you know, there's a lot going on. We totally understand. We are here to support you. If you're sick, please stay at home, right? Don't fear that you're going to lose your job. Those types of things that are new to us, we are all here to figure it out together, sort of creating that sense of unity, I think is really important in an environment where we feel pushed outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a huge challenge under the best of times, and even more of a challenge now. James, I wonder if you can let us in on, are there any additional complexities as far as processes and procedures and regulations that have come about due to the pandemic?
Sure, I can. You know, from a general business perspective, of course, the initial area which is felt is pressure. You know, you're immediately inserted into a constantly changing environment. And when we talk about dangerous goods, that immediately comes into the regulatory element. Yeah, so what is a state authority, so in the US, the FAA, doing in regards to dangerous goods? Yeah, whether it be training or process or review, safety, you know, and so on. So from a company perspective, I mean, Desiree gave a very, very good and concise overview what it means, you know, for people. You know, whether it be staff shortages or the fear element, you know, the case of the unknown. I think in particular when we look at dangerous goods in the general air cargo arena, the biggest issue I think has been the reduction in capacity, because obviously passenger airlines have been grounded. They were grounded very, very quickly from mid to the end of March. And a lot of capacity then for air cargo was lost within the bellies of those aircraft. So then the requirement for cargo freighter aircraft to be flying on certain routes on a regular basis with a significant amount of capacity was certainly required. You know, and you could see that with the trends between Asia and the US, between Asia and Europe, and so on. So it's a very, very interesting beast, yeah, as you referred to it earlier. I think it's testament to the air cargo supply chain. I think the air cargo supply chain has certainly been elevated in terms of awareness, not only within our industry, because we know how critical the industry is, but also to the general public, you know, that air cargo is effectively keeping the global supply chain alive. And you've seen that with airlines turning passenger aircraft into freighters, yeah, loading whether it's medical supplies or lightweight items within the main deck of a passenger aircraft, whether that be on seats or taking seats out, operating a significant amount of flights to enable the global supply chain to keep operating. But you know, when we come back to the organization level, it's very, very pressurized, yeah, from the top down, in particular to the people on the front line, you know, the people, so the shippers, the freight forwarders, the people who are physically handling the shipments, the people at the airlines or the ground handlers who are accepting these shipments. And I think we have to give testament and congratulations to them, along with, you know, the healthcare workers and the emergency services who are, you know, fighting the cause on our behalf. And, you know, I think it's a good opportunity to say thank you for that. And to everybody in the air cargo supply chain, fantastic job. And it's absolutely testament to the people involved.
I'd like to echo the sentiments as well. I've been amazed at the resilience of the global supply chain in the air, by ground, by sea. And really, we all owe a lot of thanks to the people who couldn't shelter at home, had to be on the front lines, loading planes, loading trucks, and keeping the supply chain moving. We've talked about the human factors, the stresses involved in the world being turned upside down. We've talked about the processes that have had to change and adapt. How can an organization sustain that? What does it take?
Yeah, a very, very interesting question, Jeff, and absolutely the right question. I think first of all, it's the individual company's acceptance of the situation of being in a pandemic. Companies can be very similar, but no two companies are the same, yeah, based on employee number, internal processes, market share, and so on. It's acceptance of the situation that comes from the top level, so from the CEO all the way down. And then breaking down underneath that, from my own personal perspective, it's about communication and transparency throughout the organization to every single employee. Yeah, every single employee who is working through the organization down to the front line, it's very, very important that they are communicated to, that the organization is transparent, and they adjust into the new normal. Yeah, and Desiree alluded to that earlier, or mentioned that earlier. So it's the ability to analyze what is the key focus of the organization. How does the organization, or should the organization, look like moving forward after the pandemic? And how does the new normal look like? And then the most critical point is to execute that change in the right way to enable the foundation and platform for that organization then to move forward. And I think what organizations need to do and to consider, and this is applicable for dangerous goods companies and for, let's say, all companies, is to be prepared also for a bounce back. Yeah, so kind of the method of two steps forward, one step back. Yeah, none of us are 100% sure if this is over, if it's going to be over, where this virus is going to go. And you know, organizations have to be very, very analytical and careful in how they want to come back to life, so to say. Yeah, and you know, and on top of that, of course, within the dangerous goods supply chain, it's about a complete focus on safety and compliance, the added pressure on people during the pandemic, safety, the reporting culture, reporting systems which are free of reprisal, yeah, and all of these things. And that's the leadership job of any company, to ensure that they communicate and are transparent with that.
Is there any thoughts on that question?
Yeah, I think something that James mentioned, which really stood out to me, was, you know, what does the new normal look like for each of us as an individual? We all are going to have, quote unquote, a new normal in our personal lives. And then beyond that, we're going to have a new normal as organizations. So as organizations, as James mentioned, from a leadership perspective, this top-down approach, but it's also beyond that, the alignment at the top level, making sure that the executive team is really aligned on where you're going and how you're going to move forward. And once this alignment is created, it's about expanding that into the rest of your organization. You're going to solve problems, or look to solve problems, that you've potentially never faced before. So your frontline employees might see something completely different than what you see from your perspective. Getting them involved, creating a sense of unity, asking them for what they are seeing and what their views are on potential opportunities on how to solve different challenges and problems that you are going to be facing in your organizations, helps with the human factor component, because people are going to feel involved. People are going to be, they feel like they're part of solving the problem, and that creates a certain engagement, that creates that sense of unity, that sense of psychological safety. It's actually okay for me to say what I think and what I see, and my opinion is just as valued as everyone else's. So I think from a human perspective, that component is really important. Make use of the resources that you have. Your people see different things, and they might be just as valuable as what we see on senior level management roles as well.
Those sound like some really significant steps. The communication and the transparency that James mentioned, the openness to people at every level being involved in solving problems that Desiree mentioned, and you both mentioned leadership, that it's got to start from the top down. Is that an attitude that exists currently within carriers, within the entire supply chain? And if not, how can leadership make that happen? How can leadership extend that attitude through their organizations?
Maybe I'll start with that one, Jeff. Also, a very interesting question. I don't want to, you know, to give a specific example of a certain airline or a certain company in terms of, you know, the leadership style or attitude. On the topic of attitude, without the right attitude, the elements that we've, you know, described during this conversation, I think would not be executed within the right way. It links to the acceptance of leadership. And forget the pandemic for a second, but that can be, you know, the acceptance of a regulatory audit within the goods arena, which was maybe not, you know, that they had, you know, a company had a couple of findings which they didn't expect. And it's about the acceptance of why the finding was there. It's about the acceptance of the corrective action, and it's about the acceptance of the execution of that. And running through all that is attitude. And the attitude starts at the top. If the attitude of the CEO all the way to the ground floor is not right, then the issue will actually not be solved. Yeah, if an audit is coming up, for example, and people, you know, try to hide things under the carpet, you know, so to say, or to, you know, to keep things up, it's attitude is attitude, and an attitude should be lived and breathed every single day. Forget the pandemic. Yeah? This is how we should, you know, conduct ourselves within the business world every single day. And again, top down is critical, and for me, communication and transparency. It's the consistency of the execution of the attitude. And with the leadership team, if that is present, then that naturally filters down through the organization.
Yeah, I totally agree with what James said here. And I think in terms of attitude, we are facing the pandemic. There's nothing we can do about that. It is there, but our choice really lies in how we react to that as leaders, as individuals, as you know, leaders of our families. So it's really our choice is within how we want to react and then how we want to portray our attitude. And it's to James's point that when you, our attitude and all of this is so incredibly important. And whenever we face these situations, go through, you know, obviously we go through emotions, and emotion impact sort of on how we react and how we show up and how we come across. But really realizing that we have a choice and realizing and looking, taking a step back and saying, okay, so I'm faced with this right now. What is it that I can do? How can I create opportunities in all of this? How can I create opportunities for my workers and for myself and ultimately for the organization? And not getting caught up in having emotional reactions to whatever might be going on. We are absolutely human and are natural to happen, but having a time and a place for all of that. And I think that showing up with this attitude and really allowing it to show up in the entire organization helps with that safety, with the compliance, just like James mentioned. And it's crucial in order for us to adjust to the new normal. There, in our workforces, there's a lot of fear involved, right? A lot of fear of the unknown. And that might show up for us as well. But as leaders, we want to take that responsibility to say, I'm not having all the answers, but let's figure this out together.
I just have to say, I love that we're talking about emotions on a Dangerous Goods podcast. When we talk about DG, so often we're talking about black and white regulations and very tangible things. And I love that both of you are talking about the emotional aspect, that it all comes down to human beings making all this happen. And human beings have emotions, and those are part of the equation. Thank you very much for sharing that perspective. That's something we don't often get. Just wonder if James, Desiree, if you have any final thoughts on factor in the dangerous goods supply chain and how it impacts compliance and safety.
Thank you, Jeff. I think we've summarized, you know, already throughout the conversation, you know, where we, you know, where we believe that, you know, those main areas are. And maybe if I could just offer a five words or five statements. The first one will be safety and compliance. That's what we strive to achieve every day within the world of aviation, not more so than in the world of dangerous goods. Consistency. I think at the moment we require patience, and organizations have to be transparent, therefore with the right execution. And I think the whole human factor element, you know, is extremely important in everyday life, not more so than in a pandemic. And I think that was, you know, one of the main reasons why Desiree and I agreed to partner. And you know, with that, with the background within the cargo industry that we both have, as well as Desiree's skills within the human factor area, you know, we genuinely believe that we have to, through the partnership, a very, very good understanding of the topic, of what's required for an organization. And we'd certainly be happy to explore that further with your listeners, and of course with LabelMaster.
Desiree?
From my perspective, as we're going through this change process, and as individuals, as human beings, we go through the change process, and we probably, as we were faced initially with this pandemic, for many of us, there was a bit of a grieving process around, well, the life that I once knew to be is not there anymore. And now I have to adjust to whatever this new normal might be looking like. And as human beings, once we go through this phase, we actually go into a phase of reevaluation. And we look at possibilities, and actually the sort of the openness to look at opportunities, the potential excitement to create new opportunities happens for us as human beings. And I think this is exactly the phase that we're in right now. So it's a huge opportunity for us as organizations to look at all of our processes and to say, okay, what's still working? What is maybe not working so much? What can we adjust? How can we become even more streamlined or more efficient in what we're doing? And ultimately, how can we create a safe environment for our employees, not only safe as physically safe, but also psychologically safe, create a just culture, create a culture of unity and inclusion where people are willing to speak up and share their perspectives and be part of the problem solving process. I think that those are my final thoughts as far as we have an opportunity at hand. We have a massive opportunity at hand, and want to really encourage everyone to look and say, what's my opportunity in all of this?
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much, James and Desiree, for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.
That was James Wyatt, General Manager of AeroConcept, and Aviation and Leadership Consultant Desiree Perez of Desiree Perez Coaching and Consulting, LLC. For details from today's conversation, please visit labelmaster.com/podcasts. And remember, you can get many of your DG shipping questions answered free at the LabelMaster Regulatory Hotline, 1-800-621-5808, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening to HazMatters, the Dangerously Good HazMat Podcast.